Hello and thank you for being with me. As we work our way through the season of Lent, we definitely are dealing with some difficult texts. And the text that we are given for this week is Jesus' discussion about forgiveness, repentance, and the consequences of not doing those. And it gets into some very difficult territory in the sense that Jesus is speaking in very clear and not somewhat harsh terms about the action of humans in accepting or rejecting our role in human evil. And really, this is what this text boils down to today, the question of evil. Jesus, in this particular passage, is talking to the people that are gathered around him, and he makes mention of two public events, things that everybody would know about, items that, if there was a newspaper in ancient Jerusalem, would have been near the headlines on a pretty regular basis. The two events were the sprinkling of the blood of martyrs in with the offering and the Tower of Siloam. In the one, it specifically talks about, well, an event that's a little hard for us to follow. It says that Pilate mixed the blood of the worshipers with the sacrifice. That was a hideous and heinous death. And of course, even among Romans, human sacrifice was considered a very, very bad thing. And so Pilate is not actually sacrificing humans. No, what we know from what happened from that time in history was that there were people who were in opposition to Rome, who were a part of the temple, and Pilate waited specifically until they were doing their duties in the temple to have them murdered. So while they're on the job doing their sacred duties, Roman soldiers come in and cut them down. And that was undoubtedly seen by the Israelites as a sure sign of something awful having happened. Because these individuals who were in this holiest of places found themselves dying. And that's the worst thing that could happen. And then the other one is the Tower of Siloam. This would have been a natural disaster of cataclysmic proportions, an industrial accident that no one anticipated happening. Lots and lots of workers all gathered around constructing. We're not sure, either the tower itself or things attached to the tower. And there was a collapse. The tower fell. Multiple people died. And all of this is tied to the Hebrew notion that misery and sorrow and suffering are directly connected to human sinfulness. That if a person is sinful, God is going to rain down horrors on them. Or if a person is good, God's going to make sure that everything goes easily for them. Jesus here is directly countering this. He basically says to the folks around, hey, this priest that got killed in the temple, do you think they were bad people because they got killed on the job? What about all those people who were working at the Tower of Siloam? Were they evil people that God brought horrors on them in their death? No. Jesus' point here is that death is a natural result of our human condition. We die because we're human, and that death comes from our fundamental broken state. We are sinners by our nature. We are born of original sin. Each and every one of us commits evil in our lives. God's not striking some people dead and letting other people live and doing it with more horrible retribution for some than for others. And I suppose if that was the end of Jesus' message, it probably would have been a fairly happy message. The people hearing it would have said, well, okay, I guess if that's the way things work, that's pretty good. I mean, I can't necessarily expect that I'm going to get special treatment because I was good, or perhaps I'd think maybe I wasn't that good, so maybe I won't get a horrible death. But then Jesus goes on to say, but do you think that you won't die? Do you think that awful things won't happen to you in the end of your life? You'll perish the same way they did, which is not good news, because nobody wants to perish the way the people who perished in horrible ways perished. So what does Jesus say to them? Unless, that's an important word, unless you repent of your sin. See, Jesus here is saying that our fundamental human nature is broken. And this is something we as human beings really grapple with, because one of the natural responses we have to our fundamentally broken nature is to try to justify our brokenness as compared to another human being's brokenness, which is, of course, exactly what Jesus is addressing. We like to point at other people and say, well, they're broken in this way, that way, this way, and this way. I'm only broken that way and this way. Therefore, I'm not as broken as them. Therefore, I can relax. As long as there are examples of people who've done worse than me, then, well, I'm not so bad. It's sort of the theory that if you're in the woods, you don't have to be the fastest runner to escape a hungry bear. You just have to be faster than one other person. It's sort of the same notion. You don't have to be the most righteous person in God's view. You just have to make sure that God can be distracted by somebody slightly less righteous than you. Jesus tears this down. He says flatly, no, I tell you all, you're all going to perish. You are worried about what happened to those people in the tower, what happened to the people in the temple. Are they worse sinners than others? It's irrelevant. Sin is sin. Broken is broken. The wages of sin are death. You'll all perish. Unless, and again we come back to that word, unless you repent. And of course the word here for repent literally means to turn and face the other direction. To turn away from that which broke you in the first place. And specifically, and this is the more important part, to turn toward God. You see, if Jesus' whole ministry, if his whole outlook, if his whole purpose was to tell human beings basically what a self-help book would tell them, and that is you need to work really hard and be a better person, then you're not turning necessarily away from sin, you're just turning inward on yourself. You're looking to build yourself up more. And as human beings, somewhere in that process, we're going to mess it up. Somewhere in that process, we're actually going to find another way to commit sin. A new way to be evil. Probably a new way to self-justify ourselves and to feel self-righteous about it. See, Jesus is not encouraging us to turn from our sin and face a new path for our betterment. He's calling us to turn from our sin to face God, to put our faith in God, to put our trust in God's promises. And most importantly, as Jesus comes to his time that he is going to go to the cross, to put our trust in the gift that Jesus Christ gives us on the cross, which is the forgiveness of our sins. He calls on us to turn away from our old life to face the cross. And in many ways, this is what the season of Lent is here to do, to encourage each and every one of us to turn from this world's brokenness and face the cross. And so I say to all of you who are worshiping this Sunday, all of you who are home and thinking about this, remember, Jesus' words to these people were that it's not that God is going to rain extra destruction down on people who are extra evil. It's that all of humanity is broken, and by virtue of that, we are simply going to invite destruction upon ourselves. But that doesn't have to be. If we have faith in Christ, if we receive the gift of forgiveness, and if we let the Holy Spirit guide us, God will lead us into new life. And in that, we put our hope.